Chapter 11. Nancy goes out at night. The evening after Mr. and Mrs. Bumble met Monks by the river, Nancy was at Fagin's. Sykes had been ill and had sent her to collect some money from the old man. Nancy had just arrived and was sitting in her hat and shawl when another visitor arrived. When she heard the man's voice, she quickly took off her hat and shawl while Fagin was letting the visitor in. It was Monks. Monks looked surprised when he saw Nancy, and he stared at her.
"You needn't worry about Nancy," Fagin told him. "When did you return to London?"
2 hours ago," replied Monks.
"Any news?" asked Fagin.
"Yes," said Monks with a smile. "Let me have a word with you in private."
"Upstairs, then," said Fagin,
and the two men left the room. As soon as they were gone, Nancy took off her shoes and silently followed them upstairs. She stood outside the door of the room, listening to Fagin and Monks talking inside. A quarter of an hour later, she went silently back downstairs and put on her shoes. Very soon afterwards, the two men came back downstairs, and Monks left at once. Fagin went to get money for Sykes.
"How long you've been, Fagin," said Nancy,
putting on her hat and shawl.
"Bill will be in such a bad temper when I get back." "I couldn't help it, my dear," Fagin said. "I had business to discuss." "Why, Nancy, how pale you are. What have you been doing?"
"Nothing, except sitting here waiting for you," replied Nancy.
Fagin counted out the money into Nancy's hand and wished her good night. The next day, Nancy was nervous and anxious, but Sykes did not notice. When evening came, she sat with him, pouring him drinks until he grew sleepy. Suddenly, he stared at her and said,
"What's the matter with you? You look half dead."
"There's nothing the matter," answered Nancy.
"There is," said Sykes, grabbing her arm. "What are you thinking about?"
"Lots of things, Bill. Nothing special," she replied.
With her back turned to him, Nancy poured Sykes another drink, and then she gave it to him. Soon, his hand dropped by his side, and he fell into a deep sleep.
"The laudanum has worked at last," she said to herself. "But I may be too late. It'll take me more than an hour to get there."
Nancy quickly put on her hat and shawl, looking over her shoulder as if she expected to feel Sykes's heavy hand reach out for her. Then she gently kissed the robber's lips and left the room. As the clock struck 10 p.m, she hurried towards the West End of London, knocking into people on the way, crossing busy roads, running almost under horses' heads.
"The woman is mad,"
people said, turning to look at her. As she got further from home, nearer the West End, the streets became less crowded, until finally she was alone. Just as the clock struck 11 p.m, she reached a hotel on an expensive street near Hyde Park, and she went inside.
"Now, young woman," said a man in a smart uniform, "what do you want?"
"A lady who is staying here," answered Nancy. "Miss Maley."
"What do you want with her?" asked the man.
"I cannot say, but I must see her," replied Nancy.
"Why would she want to see someone like you?" said the man. "I should throw you out."
"Do what you like with me, but please give Miss Maley a message first," said Nancy. "Please tell her that a young woman wishes to speak to her alone."
At last, the man agreed and ran upstairs. He soon returned and told Nancy to follow him upstairs, where he left her by herself in a small room. A few minutes later, Rose Maley came in.
"Good evening. You asked to see me. How may I help you?"
she asked in such a kind and gentle voice that Nancy started to cry.
"Is the door shut?" Nancy asked.
"Yes," replied Rose, moving a little closer to the door. "Why?"
"Because I'm about to put my life and the lives of others in your hands. I'm the one that dragged Oliver back to Fagin's the day he left Pentonville."
"You?"
said Rose.
"I've got away from those who would surely murder me if they knew I was here. I've come to tell you about two conversations that I have overheard. Do you know a man named Monks?"
"No,"
said Rose.
"He knows you," said Nancy, "and he knows you're in this hotel, for that's how I found out where you were. This man Monks knows Oliver too. I learned that Monks agreed to pay Fagin to get Oliver back, and also to turn him into a thief."
"A thief? Why?"
asked Rose.
"Before I could find out why, Monks noticed my shadow on the wall and I had to get away quickly," said Nancy.
"I didn't see the man again until last night when he came back to Fagin's. I took care to hide myself better this time. I listened outside the room and I heard Monks say, 'The only proof of who the boy is now lies at the bottom of the river.' I heard Fagin and Monks laugh. Then Monks became wild and said, 'Even if I have the young devil's money safely now, I still wish he would hang for some crime.' Fagin, you could easily arrange that and trick my young brother, Oliver."
"His brother!" cried Rose.
"Those were his words,"
said Nancy, looking nervously around.
"But it's late, and I must get back before they realise I'm gone."
"Back? Why do you wish to go back to those terrible people?"
"If you stay here, my friends can take you to a safe place,"
said Rose.
"I have to go back," replied Nancy. "There's a man I cannot leave, not even to save myself. I cannot be the cause of Bill's death."
"What do you mean?"
asked Rose.
"If these men get arrested because of what I've told you, Bill would be sure to die."
"But what can I do without you?" said Rose. "How can the information you've given me help Oliver?"
"Tell a gentleman you can trust. He'll advise you what to do," replied Nancy.
"But where can I find you again when I need to?"
asked Rose.
"Will you promise me that you'll keep our meeting secret and come alone with the gentleman? And that I shall not be watched or followed?"
asked Nancy.
"I promise," said Rose.
"Then every Sunday night, from 11 until midnight, I will walk on London Bridge," said Nancy.
With that, she hurried from the room.